Hello and welcome to the EURETINA interviews on AMD innovations. I'm Dr. Anat Lowenstein, and today I am joined by Dr. Sebastian Wolf and Raminta Dayoni. Welcome. Together, we will discuss unmet clinical needs in neovascular macular degeneration treatment and how emerging therapeutics, artificial intelligence, and other treatment approaches are addressing them. We'd like to thank Roche Insights for providing independent medical education support. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the very hot topic that is coming up. Everyone is talking about it in medicine, artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence in medicine is definitely here to stay. I mean, there is no way to stop it, and for sure it's happening. And also in medicine, there are many questions regarding artificial intelligence in medicine in general. Theoretical questions, exactly operational issues, and also ethical issues. And let's talk a little bit about AI in neovascular macular degeneration treatment. So let's first start with the question, how is artificial intelligence being used in retina practice today, if at all? And what are today the current limitations of the technology? Ramin, would you like to start?
Sure. So as far as I know, AI is not used widely in retina practice today. There is one system, at least I'm aware, that is able to detect the system at home, a home OCT device using the AI. However, we use, without knowing, a lot of algorithm inside our imaging machines that improve their image, they make the image better. So if we call this some kind of primitive AI, we already use it, but we don't use it in a way that people may understand AI, which is something that is going to replace the doctor by itself or to improve what the doctor is doing. In terms of limitation, I think the main limitation we have today is just we haven't yet developed a protocol, treatment protocol, and we haven't yet enough integrated this, what is already available in our practice. And we have some small system here and there that can use AI to detect fluid, to do this and this, but they are not yet widely used.
Sebastian?
I think in retail practice, I think AI is already used in screening programs for diabetic retinopathy, which is working quite well. And this shows already the limitation of the technology. So AI can only answer a very small question you are putting to this, and you train the AI system. So if you train the AI system to detect diabetic retinopathy, this is working well. But if you put AMD patients in front of this machine, it's not working at all. So it doesn't give you an answer. The best is that it tells you it's not a diabetic retinopathy, but the hemorrhages in AMD may fool the system, and they may say it's a diabetic retinopathy. So this is a limitation. The system gives you only a very specific answer on a very specific question. And this has to be overcome by larger data amounts, by putting the exact question or the exact algorithm to the question you are needing. And I think there's a good future for it, but currently it's more research, it's more small things we are doing with it.
Exactly. So I think what you pointed out, the most important issues with AI today in the management of retina disease, because we only can answer one small question. It's not even to say if the patient has diabetic retinopathy, but rather if he needs referral for diabetic retinopathy, which is important, and it's a very good thing to let us know, but not more than that. It can mislead us if a patient has AMD or some other diseases. And as Sebastian said, it's used mainly in research nowadays. Even with the home OCT, it's still used only in research. It's still not FDA approved and not in clinical practice, but definitely we're looking forward for it coming up. Let's continue the discussion. And I think some of what we'll discuss will also go back to this question. Do you think that artificial intelligence can be integrated in the treatment decision-making, or will it decide for the treatment? So the question is, how will it help us in the treatment decision-making? Will we be assisted by AI, or will be directed by AI? What are your thoughts about it? Sebastian, do you want to start?
Yeah. So mainly in AMD, decision making is OCT and the presence or absence of fluid. This is a major decision point we have. And we have a study with AI looking how the decision of the doctor and the AI would correlate by detecting fluid. And AI is very, very good doing it. And if you have a non-so experienced doctor, it may be even better than a doctor, but still it's then only fluid. So there may a patient which has good visual acuity and small cysts, the system detects this and tells treat the patients. But you as doctor may know these cysts are not going away and the vision is stable and good, and so you don't need to treat the patient. And here the question comes into the system, and we need to train the system in addition to the images with clinical data, and this is not done today, I think. But Ramin, I know you're working as well on this, and what's your approach?
I fully agree with you, Sebastian. One of the issues is that we don't have as good data as we had for detecting, for example, diabetic retinopathy, because we had the screening database, and what we wanted to ask the AI is just to do the screening. So we had that. For AMD, it's much more complicated, and there is different level. It's like the driving. You have different level of assisted driving, and we will have some kind of different assistance. So one is, as Sebastian, you perfectly explained, is just, I have an imaging, I want to save time. I want just quickly to see the if there is fluid or not, but I'm going to make the decision. The other point would be, is it able to just detect the fluid and say the patient come to the clinic or not come to the clinic? This is already a little bit more sophisticated. But I think the most sophisticated part of AI would be to give us information we are not able to have. Because it should integrate a lot of data. And Sebastian, you alluded that we have some clinical data, we have imaging data, we have different data. And maybe mixing them all will help us to make a better prediction of what's going to happen that we are not able to do, because this is too much data for us. We don't know how to do it. And this, I think, would be the most important and interesting part of AI. And again, in AMD, probably it's too much complicated. Diabetic retinopathy, but at the end, it's a little bit more simpler than AMD. And I think it will still lead the AI in terms of this part, which is predicting better what's going to happen in a patient compared and giving extra information to the ophthalmologist. So it's absolutely exciting. It's a wonderful tool. It's like a small child, so we have to use it, train it, learn together. And one day it may become an adult technology and comes at our help.
Yeah, so what I hear from you is that both of you think that it has a lot of potential, but that we need to be the final decision makers, and we can really get some information from the AI, and both of you work a lot on this, but we need to be the final decision makers. And I think this also, and I alluded to it before, has a lot of ethical and also regulatory implications that are not yet set. Because let's say that the AI told you not to give an injection and you decided that you need to give an injection and the patient has endophthalmitis. Who is liable for that? And the patient may, you know, bypass the physician. I don't know if in Switzerland, but in many other countries, they can want themselves to be the customer for the AI. So a lot of issues around that. But I think that, and I would like just maybe a few more sentences for both of you. You know, the issue is that we are going to have so much data coming up because you're working on fluid and quantification of fluid, both of you. And the amount of data, it's not like, it's not anymore like the patient comes after 2 years and that's the amount of, he has more or less fluid and that's how we decide. Now we'll have a lot of data points, maybe from the home OCT, for example, that tell us for 2 years how much fluid you had every day, and such amount of data we cannot overcome ourselves. So these are maybe future applications where the AI can be assistive, at least for us. Do you want to elaborate a little bit on this from your work? Ramin, do you want to start?
I think you already mentioned many things. So yes, we have the data. So we have two issues, is that we are not able anymore to process the data ourselves. So even for research purposes. So that's why we need some assistance. And that's very good that images, that we use images, and images are a good area for AI because they do quite well in images. So I think that is one of the points for research, what I want to do with all this data. And the other point is to help in the practice. How can it help me just even to highlight an area of pathology, because I just want to be sure not to miss and go quickly to what it is. And the last point is how it can help for new treatment too, because you have all this data and you may find some clue in this information to a new treatment, because the patient by chance have other treatment and you notice that patients having another medication, they have better result than others or whatever. So I think it's a fantastic tool. It's not yet, at least, like many people imagine that tomorrow we will have an application that is replacing the ophthalmologist doing the work for us, or not doing the work for us, but doing the work for others. I don't know, for someone that I don't know. I think we are very far from that. But as a tool that will improve the treatment of the patient and help decrease the burden, improve the result, that I'm quite sure it's not so far. Not yet, but it's not so far.
Sebastian?
Yeah, I would agree with Ramin totally. I think there are different directions for AI. The one direction is just to help us to scope with all the data and to facilitate doing our diagnosis. This is helpful. And I think this will happen, but it's how useful it is, I'm not so sure, because we are so good in looking at the image and having with one glance an answer. I see another field. I see Ramin mentioned this as well. So to find something which we are not able to see in the images, and we are doing actually some studies where we try to predict from baseline OCT and baseline images, what is the treatment need in AMD patients after 12 months? And if we could predict this, currently we have an AOC of 0.79, which is still very good, but not perfect. If we would go to 0.9, so this is a 90% prediction, then we could tell the patient, you are a patient, you will be treatment intensive, or the other patient needs not a lot of treatment. And this would help a lot in managing patients. And this is what we can't do today. But with all the data we have and feeding these into the systems, we just need to pose the right questions to train our networks. And I think there is a future that this will improve our ability to manage patients, like in these examples. And probably there are many other examples. If you do a better diagnosis of diabetic retinopathy with AI, you may better predict how the risk of this patient will be. And this would be fantastic. You could tell the patient, come back in 3 months, and 6 months, or in 9 months. I think there's a very good future for this.
Great. So I just want to summarize the few last sentences. So what both of you agree, and me too, that AI will help us to cope with a lot of data that we cannot cope with such amount. It can help us see things that we don't see, that the human brain cannot see, and be predictive for patient need of treatment. And also that I understand from both of you that it will improve our capabilities, but it will not replace us, fortunately, according to what you think. And I also think that we all, as retina specialists, we don't agree to have a black box telling us treat or don't treat. We want a white box that we understand why it tells us to treat or not to treat. So I think it has a lot of potential, but still a lot of work to do regarding AI. So topics we discussed today covered a range of exciting innovations in the management of neovascular macular degeneration today. These new therapies that were mentioned by both of you, Professor Tadayoni and Professor Wolf, will greatly improve the ability of the retina specialists to treat their patients effectively while decreasing the number of injections as well as practice visits. I hope that these EURetina interviews advance your understanding of emerging technologies and treatment options for neovascular macular degeneration. This concludes our program on AMD innovations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.